Welcome to the Reinvent series. And so we are in week 4. How many of you have been getting stirred up to reinvent some things in your life? Hopefully God's speaking to you. So we're going to jump back into it and find out what does the Lord have to say about one of these other questions we want to ask. And today's question that we're going to talk about is, what will you do? And that'll make sense as we jump into it. But reinvent, we're talking about this whole idea of getting a do-over, of refreshing, rebooting, resetting our lives in different areas. And we all go through seasons where maybe we're bored, maybe feel stuck, maybe you're in a season change in life and you're like, Lord, what's next? I just think there's something more. We sang about it this morning. I just know there's a breakthrough for me. And you may be in that season, and sometimes it comes upon you, that season, unexpectedly in a way. You really weren't planning for it, but things happen in life, and so then suddenly you're in a reinvent season. Other times it's intentional, like you know your last child's moving out, you know you have a wedding, you know there's a new baby on the way, you know there's a job change, there's a transfer, or whatever the case might be, and so some of you may be in that season, so this is pertinent for you. Of course, the Bible terms for the word reinvent would be words like transformation. Be ye transformed. But we're looking at it from a couple of just practical angles and doing our best to get into the Word, but then also to get your mind and your heart stirred up and unstuck. That's the goal, because all of us get in ruts in our ways of thinking and our ways of doing and the routines of life. And so sometimes you got to shake it up a little bit. And all the people said. So let's pray and we'll get into this message today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for each and every person here, Lord. All the gifts represented, all the destiny, all the potential, all the influence. Lord, all of these ambassadors for Christ in the room watching as well. Lord, thank you for what you want to do in us and through us. I pray you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, eyes to see it by faith, and may eternal fruit be the result of our time together in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Well, we've been kind of looking at a couple of passages of scripture, camping out in a couple, and then just giving lots of examples. So if you got your Bibles, pull them out. Let's go to Luke 13. Jesus gave us this parable. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keepers of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, one more year, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. So we've talked about this extensively in our weeks gone by, but just for those that are new with us, it's just this idea that sometimes in life, you've been going at it for a while, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you feel like, man, there's no fruit being produced. And you're ready to throw in the towel. You're ready to cut down the tree. But the Lord says, no, don't do it yet. Wait, give it one more year. But now this year, reinvent. This year, do something different. Dig around the roots and fertilize those roots. And then if it bears fruit, awesome. If it doesn't, if that area of your life's not bearing fruit after one more year, well, then cut it down and see what else the Lord has in store. And that's kind of been the premise. So then we've looked at this chart. I want you to see it. We've looked at this chart and sort of talked about our lives in three different areas, our spirit, soul, and body. The Bible describes us as a three-part being whom the Lord is always sanctifying. He's always working to grow us up, to mature us, spirit, soul, and body. And so you see in this chart at the bottom, you see real self. And at the top, we see ideal self. And all of us have thought bubbles, you know, and visions and dreams of our ideal self spiritually. Our relationship with the Lord, our prayer life, our witness for Christ. We all have a thought bubble and a vision for our lives physically. Our physical health, our weight, our energy, our activity, our mental health, and so on. And then in our soul, in our mind, emotions, will, our relationships, our marriage, our finances, and so on. We all have these real and ideal selves. And what happens when we get honest in seasons is we go, you know, there's a big gap in some of these areas. There's potentially a big gap in some of these areas, and this is the area where there's no fruit. This is the area I want to dig around the roots. This is the area called the gap that we're talking about. This is where we reinvent. in that area called the gap. And so we've encouraged you to be thinking, in the course of this series, be thinking about what areas. Maybe for some of you it's relationships. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your spiritual life. You think, man, I am going through the motions, but I do not know the Lord. I don't even talk to the Lord, but I go through all the motions. Or maybe you think, I have no friends. I have nobody to talk to, like in life. Or physically, you just think, I am not in a good place physically. I'm exhausted. Well, let's reinvent. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So with that, then, where we've now camped out is this story in 2 Kings. So if you guys will go there as well, 2 Kings 4. And we're looking at four questions that this particular woman in 2 Kings was asked, and we're asking these questions of ourselves. 2 Kings 4, verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves. Single mom, two boys, the creditors are coming to take her kids to be slaves so she can pay her debts. Elisha says to her, what shall I do for you? What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Number two, he says, tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Four questions. What do you want? He says to her, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And we talked a few weeks ago about that very question. What do you want? What do you want the Lord to do for you? Question number two, what do you have? What do you have in the house? What gifts, what talents, what experiences, what people connections, what resources, what do you have? Because the Lord always and only uses what we have. He never uses what we don't have. And then today we're going to talk about what will you do. Now it's interesting. Look what he said to her. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, all over the place, from all your neighbors. And he said, don't borrow just a few. Lady, you're going to have to think big. You're going to have to think a little bigger, because what you don't know is when you get to the last vessel, the oil will cease. She said, bring me another vessel. And they said, Mom, there's no more vessels. And the oil ceased. So it sure would be a good thing if those boys went out and got a lot of vessels. It'd be a bummer if those boys were lazy and went and got half a dozen vessels when they could have had hundreds of vessels. However many vessels they went and got is how much God touched and supernaturally multiplied the oil. Amen. So then she poured out. They just started, but all she had was a little pot of oil. She says, I don't have anything, just this little pot of oil. And then by faith, she took this little thing she had and she just began to pour out. Well, in the natural, one little pot of oil would only fill one little vessel. Unless the God factor kicks in, unless God supernaturally touches something. And see, this is where the faith walk for you and I gets fun. It's very practical on the front end. In some cases, it's very natural. In fact, the Bible says the natural things first, then the spiritual. It's very natural on the front end. Sometimes we like to hyper-spiritualize it, sit back in the recliner and say, okay, God, you do it. And the Lord's saying, how about you do it, and I'll touch it. Workers together with God. And all the people said, so this is what we're going to look at today then. What will we do in terms of reinventing? All right, so let's take a look then at three words today, three key words we're going to look at. Go, borrow, pour. All right, go, borrow, pour. And we're going to look at what all of those mean here as we get into it. So what will you do? With that in mind, then let's look at a couple of options. You know, when it comes to things to do, I mean, you could do this. You could decide if you should pay off your student loans or buy a pre-made salad from Whole Foods. Which is probably more true than we know. On a more serious note, this is a great meme. I love this one. As a well-spent day brings happy sleep, so a life well-spent brings happy death. Leonardo da Vinci. It's interesting, a little sobering, but you know how it is at the end of a happy day, at the end of a day where you kind of got your checklist done and felt that it was a fulfilling day, a meaningful day, you sleep well. And there's something about it when you're running the last lap of your race here on earth. There's something about that internal feeling of like, oh, I wasn't perfect. I didn't do everything right. But man, I have an internal contentment, an internal satisfaction. A life well lived leads to a happy exit plan as you head to heaven. So some of you, of course, you know, different ages of people here, but we're all in a season, no matter how old. If you're in the last lap of your life, so to speak, or you're just at the beginning of the race, listen, all along the way, he wants to help us to reinvent these areas of our lives. No regrets when we get to the end. And all the people said, so go. We're going to talk about three things. Go. When we talk about go, we're talking about it kind of from two different angles. One, get moving. Go means get moving. Let's get in motion. And then specifically, do something every day. Just do something every day. Go. Get moving. Do something every day. Well, when it comes to go, it's an interesting thing because a lot of us, when we're younger, you can think back to when you were a kid in elementary school or junior high, high school, you know, you might have remembered hearing yourself say things like, someday when I get older, I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be an astronaut, a police officer. I want to play college sports. I want to start a business. I want to have children. Whatever it is that you said when you were younger. Who remembers somewhere along the way saying, someday when I get older? But then what happens is it one day you hear yourself, somewhere along the way, you hear yourself say, you know, when I was younger, and you ask the question on that day, you ask the question, when did I cross over? When did I go from out there in my future to now looking back in my past? When did I live in the present? When did I get to like do the stuff? You get to do the stuff right now. This is the go. You're in the go season. Did you ever notice Jesus said, go ye? I think a lot of times as Christians, if we're not careful, we're going to just hyper-spiritualize everything. And we're just waiting for a voice from heaven and a billboard, and we're waiting for all these things to say, oh, now I know God wants me to do this or that. God wants me to go. No, Jesus already said, go ye. The light is already green. So in the event you have something in you to do, unless the Holy Spirit specifically, which we see a couple of examples in the Bible, unless the Holy Spirit specifically has given you a red light and forbade you, like he did the Apostle Paul in a couple of instances, the Holy Spirit forbade the Apostle Paul to go preach the gospel in a certain place because the timing wasn't quite right. So unless the Holy Spirit specifically forbids you from doing something because of timing, because of the peace of God's not in your heart on it, because of whatever he knows about that situation, then you can consider the light green. You have a green light. Jesus said, go ye. And so Christians, so many times we are way too passive. We are way too non-moving. You know, you've heard the saying before, but you know, God can't direct a parked car. Just put the thing in drive. Just get the wheels moving. Come on, get the wheels moving. And you don't have to put your foot on the gas and go 100 miles an hour. Just go 5 miles an hour. Let's just get the thing moving in a direction and see what the Lord will do. Amen. This guy, now you may have heard of this guy, or you know a little bit about his story, but his name is Guy Laliberte, Canadian born. And as a kid, the thing he had was he was very creative. And so on the streets, he'd do a little street hustle up in Canada, play his accordion. He would eat fire and walk on stilts. He was just kind of an entertainer, but somewhere along the way, he got some of his friends together, got some people together, and put together a little troop of people that were gifted and had some talent, and then they decided to get moving. They decided to do something, and so then he bought a one-way ticket for the whole group, bought a one-way ticket and flew them to L.A. for a festival back in the day just to see, will anybody else recognize these gifts? Well, lo and behold, their gifts were recognized, and they became what we now know as Cirque du Soleil. What is Cirque du Soleil? Cirque du Soleil is what a lot of us grew up knowing as the circus. We just go to the old-fashioned Barnum and Bailey Circus. The Ringling Brothers Circus came to town. He took something old school and put a new school twist on it, got busy, got moving, and he burnt a bridge in the sense that he bought a one-way ticket. Let's just see. Now, let me encourage some of you. Some of you, you're in seasons. You need to get moving. You've got to pretend you heard from God and get the wheels on the bus going round and round. But you're not in a season. Some of you, you're not yet in the season to burn the bridge. You don't quit your day job. You don't walk out on water quite yet because you're not ready. The timing's not right. And so he'll show you. You get moving, yes. You start going, yes. And then you use wisdom and you exercise patience and you hear from the Holy Spirit as to when to burn the bridge. I mean, the time will come. The time will come. You're going to have to take a big step of faith. The just, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. In fact, it's so funny, I think, to me. It says of Jesus, when Jesus returns again, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Well, he's a faith God. So it's going to take faith to do this thing. So you get moving. You take some baby steps. And then eventually you burn a bridge as needed and you walk out on the water that God's called you to walk out on. What are we talking about? Go. Get moving. Good. Number two, do something every day. Do something every day. I'll give you a couple of things to think about. James Altucher is kind of a innovator, and he's got a guy who does PR for him named Steve, and he said Steve sends 200 emails every day. Steve is his PR guy, public relations guy. He sends out 200 emails a day to try to book guests to do the podcast with this James. He said, why does he do 200 a day? Because he gets a lot back that are no's. They're not all yeses. In fact, very few are yeses. He'll send emails to Taylor Swift. He'll send emails to President Obama back when he was president. He sends emails to Paul McCartney. He sends emails to all these people, and he knows they're going to say no. But his whole point is, but you never know who will say yes. You guys in sales know this. You know you have to do 100 knocks on the door and get 99 no's for one yes. But this is a principle in life. You got to get moving. You got to knock on some doors. You got to send some emails. You got to make some contact. Warren Buffett was asked the question, what is the secret to your success? He pointed to a stack of books. He said, read 500 pages a day. That's how knowledge works. It builds up like compound interest. Read 500 pages a day. One of the guys I was reading at, when he gets ready to write a book, he's an author, when he gets ready to write a book, he reads 200 books before he starts writing, just to get the research, just to get a lot of stuff in the crock pot from which to draw from. We always have said it around here, of course we've shared it with our kids as they're growing up with all of you, readers are leaders, which is not, we did not coin the phrase, it's been out there for many decades, but it's a truth. Readers are leaders. So here's the challenge. Read 200 books this year. Read 200 books a year. If you wanted to do that, how many hours would you spend reading this year? 417. Just over an hour a day. Which means you gotta turn off the news, you gotta turn off the TV, you gotta turn off social media, you gotta get smart. You could use some apps. I use a couple of apps to read. I'd love to read, and I get in seasons where I'm not reading as much, and I'm like, ugh, I miss reading. So I just downloaded an app and got a subscription to a thing called Blinklist. And basically, years ago, Jeff got me a subscription to a thing called Get Abstract. And what that is, it's a 5-page summary of all the books out there. 5-page summary and abstract. You can read it really quick. But I like the blink list because you can read it and it's got audio. And it's basically like 5 or 6 or 8 blinks to summarize a book. So just this last week, using the blink list thing, I was able to get the gist of 9 books. Man, that makes me happy. How many of you like to read? But who thinks I've got no time to read? No, you got to do something every day. You got to send an email. You got to read a book. You got to listen to a podcast. Of course, we're doing our daily Bible reading or daily Bible listening. Right? Talking about go. You got to get yourself in motion. We got a guy on staff. Of course, we have a great staff. A lot of great stories we could tell. But this one fellow on our staff, Kyle Misak. Kyle is amazing. Kyle is one of the most humble guys you'll ever meet. He won't talk about himself. We had to pull it out of him. But Kyle is this incredible young man, and he does something every day. He's being very intentional and very wise with his go. Kyle's dream is to be a filmmaker. That's his dream. He wants to be a filmmaker, and he's very good already. What he does here for us at VFC is he's one of our video editors, and he's the chief video editor for the TV program for The Basics with Beth. He does an incredible job in what he's doing here. But in his spare time, Kyle is making movies. In fact, they're going to put a picture up on the screen. Do you guys see Kyle there? That's Kyle on his own set of a movie he was making. And the actor there is Creed, helping him in one of his movies. And he does all of this on his spare time. And he's been researching for years and years and years all about film. In fact, when he was in high school, he would send letters to some of the people he admired that were in the movie business, actors and producers and directors. He would just send letters to these people in Hollywood, and they may or may not ever answer him back, but he just continually, all through high school, just continually sent letters to say how much he admired their work. And a number of them would send back signed photographs. He said that his most favorite thing that he ever got from anybody was a signed cigar box from Sylvester Stallone. It's pretty cool. He said he got a poster back signed by the whole cast of Back to the Future. What's he do? Did he just send out letters? He's just learning? He's just making connections? So he does all that, and then he starts to decide he wants to make some films, and so he wants to learn. So then he begins to send out emails and letters to about 30 different people in L.A. that are directors and producers, people he wants to learn from. Again, nobody might write him back. But you know, about 5 or 6 did write him back. And Kyle said, hey, you know, if I ever came out to L.A., I'd love to just have a cup of coffee with you. If I could pick your brain for 10 minutes, that'd be awesome. And do you know, Kyle goes to L.A., about twice a year, every 5 months or so, about twice a year to go meet with people in L.A. to sit over coffee and to pick their brains and to learn what he can. And how smart is that? God's given him so many divine connections. Some of you might remember Lurch. Anybody remember Lurch from the Addams Family? Kyle's had Lurch come and act in one of his films. In fact, if you go to YouTube, Kyle's movies are on Throwback Pictures. That's what he calls his company, Throwback Pictures. I want to show you a couple of pictures as well of Kyle and a video. Take a look at this video. This is just a little trailer, but it lets you know, man, he's doing quality work, and God's got a big plan for Kyle, but he hasn't burnt the bridge totally. He's still here faithfully serving while preparing for what God has for him. Take a look here at the video. You guys watch for that name one of these days. You're going to go, I know that guy. He was a part of VFC. But in addition to what Kyle does with movies, listen, in addition, in fact, there's a couple more pictures they can put up because these are some fun pictures of Kyle. And some of you will know Jeffrey Weissman, Larry Hankin, and Trevor Snar from Napoleon Dynamite. Here's some pictures with Kyle and those guys. But in addition to what Kyle does with his films, we're talking about go. Do something every day. Do you know every day and or every other day, depending on the weather, do you know Kyle runs? Yeah, he just goes out and runs 8 miles. Just for kicks. He just goes out and runs 8 miles every day or every other day. And we were talking to him one time, and he goes, yeah, one day I was out running. He goes, and I just sort of forgot to stop. We said, well, how far did you go? He goes, well, I went 30 miles. We go, Kyle, people don't do that. People don't just forget to stop running for 30 miles. But he's developed such a great habit of running every day. And he goes, one of the reasons I run is because I want to develop this inner thing of not quitting. I just go run so I don't quit. Isn't that awesome? In addition to that, Kyle has decided he wants to learn to play a particular piece on the piano. So 4 or 5 times a week, Kyle is practicing a piece on the piano. He's teaching himself, watching videos, watching the fingers. He's learning how to play the Moonlight Sonata third movement, obviously, by Beethoven. What's he doing? He's investing into the go. We're talking about what? Reinventing your life, and you're going to have to get moving. You're going to have to do something every day to go. And all the people said, and let's give Kyle a nice big hand. Woo, woo, woo. I don't know if Kyle's in here. Is Kyle in here? He's probably directing because he volunteers on Sundays. Probably up there in the control room, but I see his mom and dad. Hi, mom and dad. Got a good boy there. Well, okay, so let's talk about number 2, borrow. Go borrow. Let's talk about borrowing. And I love this one because the prophet told her, go borrow. He didn't say invent. He didn't say it had to be original. He didn't say, go get on the pottery wheel and make some vessels. He said, go borrow some existing vessels from your neighbors. And I think sometimes where we get stuck is we think everything we do has to be original. But there's such a acceleration when we borrow. Borrow what? Borrow ideas. Collaborate with people. Go borrow vessels from your neighbors. So 2 things we'll look at. One is perk up the ordinary, spot opportunities. All right, so when it comes to perking up the ordinary, this one is definitely no pun intended, but let's talk about Starbucks. Perk up the ordinary. We've talked about this many times, but it's such a good one because everybody gets this one. You might remember years ago in a land far away, you could get a cup of coffee for 50 cents at the gas station, at the donut store. And then suddenly, a guy named Howard Schultz goes to Italy and he sees all of these coffee bars on the street corners in Italy. Every block there's a coffee bar. And people are stacked in there getting cups of espresso and cappuccinos and lattes. And he thinks to himself, this is amazing. I need to bring this back to the States. And so he brought it back to the States. We noticed Starbucks. And we went from paying 50 cents for a cup of coffee to happily paying $4 and waiting in line. And some of us have Starbucks radar now built into our systems. If we're in an airport, Pastor Jeff and I, if we're driving around, our radar is on. Is there a Starbucks nearby or any other kind of a coffee shop? Well, what did he do? He created a whole culture. He spotted an opportunity. He didn't invent coffee. He perked up the ordinary. He took something that exists, and he just made it better, in some people's opinion. Others of you, you still like your 50-cent cup of coffee. But he made it different. He did something different with something that already existed. I read a story. I thought this was a great one. A team of heart surgeons, those of you guys in the medical profession, you'll enjoy this. A team of heart surgeons in London, they all served at the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, they invited the Ferrari pit crew to collaborate with them because they felt they needed to speed up the transfer of patients from the operating table to the recovery ward. And the Ferrari pit crew is amazing at doing it. And I don't know if they're trying to shave off microseconds or what they're trying to do, because how slow were they to move you from one bed to the other? But apparently they felt they needed to speed it up, and it was critical. They met with the Ferrari pit crew team, and do you know they increased their transfer speed by 65%? Yeah. What was that? They just took something ordinary, but they made it better. They collaborated with some people. They borrowed some wisdom from some people. Amen. Now, the bonus was then Ferrari became a sponsor of the hospital. So that's not a bad deal. And I don't know if anybody got cars or anything, but, you know, I'm just saying it's good to collaborate. How about Steve Jobs? Of course, we all know Steve Jobs. No, of Steve Jobs. But again, what did he do? He just took an ordinary cell phone back in the day, the flip phone. He just took an ordinary phone, a functional piece of equipment. What did he do to it? He made it a piece of art. He took a little flip phone, kind of, you know, figure out where to put it on your body, and he made it a piece of art, and he made it really functional. So what's ordinary in your world? What's super ordinary? You deal with it every day. It's part of what you do. How do you make it better? Spotting an opportunity, it's kind of the same idea. Years ago, of course, you guys know the surfboard, all you big surfers here. 1926, the surfboard was invented. 1926. But from that time till now, there's been over 30 variations of the surfboard. Things like skateboard, the wakeboard, the kite sail, skis, snowboard, paddleboard, and so on. 30 different variations of the original surfboard, almost 100 years ago. So again, in the sporting world, in the engineering world, in the music world, do you know, in when it comes to music and books and so on, movies, do you know there's so much stuff in the public domain now? The copyright has expired. There are so many movies and songs and books and things in the public domain that if you have a creative gift and you're a visionary, you can take something that existed and was quite big at the time, and you can reinvent it for these times. I mean, you see a lot of movie remakes, don't you? A lot of songs redone. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of kindling wood for you to get something burning. Spot an opportunity. Perk up the ordinary. Borrow ideas. We got a couple folks here in the church, several actually, in the church that have done it. We've seen it with Fixer Upper, the TV show Fixer Upper, which a lot of us have really enjoyed watching, and all of the decorating shows and Fixer Upper shows. I mean, they're fixing up everything nowadays, aren't they? Every city has a show, it seems like. Well, the Fixer Upper guys, I mean, they kind of started a whole new thing. And so we've got some folks even here in the church that do a phenomenal job. You guys, some of you know Stacy and Brian Vogel. They take furniture, old furniture, I mean, you know, garage sale stuff, but man, they make it look amazing. They repurpose it. They reinvent it. Others in the church, they make jewelry. They take little pieces of things and they make jewelry and reinvent parts and pieces to create jewelry. What do you have that's ordinary? What's in your garage? What's in your basement? What's in your jewelry box? You could do something. You could borrow some ideas and reinvent some things. All right, let's show you a picture here. Some of you might like this. I think this is a great invention. How about a flip-flop along with a high-top tennis shoe? That's pretty cool. It zips. You guys see the zipper? Yeah. This guy, I like this. This is a good story. Here's a guy. He borrowed from his childhood. He borrowed from his work experience. Some of you are like, yeah, but my whole career has been so boring. I mean, there's nothing in my career that is even exciting to reinvent. But here's a guy who worked in a factory. He was an orphan, worked in a factory most of his life. He worked in a molding factory, made molds, factory molds for auto parts and eyeglass frames as a young kid. And when he got into his early 20s, he started his own business. He took his knowledge. He borrowed his knowledge. He opened up his own molding company, factory, and he began to mold frames for eyeglasses. Now, over the course of time, that has grown to be about a $10 billion company. We know it as Ray-Ban. We know it as Oakley and the mother company, Luxottica. What did he do? He just borrowed from his life experience working in a factory. Some of you guys, gals, you might think, I don't have anything that amazing. Yes, you do. You do. You and the Holy Spirit. You can get in with the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in this area? How should I reinvent some things for our family, for our kids, for our future? Take the knowledge base I have, some friends I know. How do we put together something? And we're going to get to it in our next 2 weeks because we're talking today about what will you do? But the thing that'll motivate you, the thing that'll keep the fire on the inside of you is our very last week, why will you do it? Why bother? Why go through the effort? Why spend the energy? So don't miss week 6 in our series because that's gonna give you the fuel to then actually put into practice all the stuff we've been talking about. All right, borrow. One final one. This gal, Michelle Phan, what'd she do? She borrowed in the whole cosmetic world, the beauty world. She, years ago, Lady Gaga came out with a song, had a certain look, makeup look. And this girl's good with makeup. And she said, oh, I'll just do a video tutorial to help girls figure out how she did her eyes and how she did all the makeup. So she just borrowed somebody else's makeup thing, but she made a tutorial. And she put it on YouTube, and it went crazy. She ended up getting something like 8 million followers and actually turned it into a cosmetic business. Now, in her case, interesting, in her case, the attention and the publicity was overwhelming. Actually, it was too much. So she ended up walking away from all of it. She ended up literally packing up her bag, shutting down her company, and moving to Switzerland. It was just too much for her. She had such success, she had to reinvent herself at the scale that was going to work for her life, which she has since done. What'd she do? She just borrowed something. She's good with makeup. Oh, here's a look a lot of the young girls like. Let me give them a tutorial. Boom. Use your cell phone. Figure out a little bit of technology. You young people, you guys are good at that. You're good at all the tech stuff. What are we talking about? Go, get moving, do something every day, borrow, and then finally, pour. Pour it out. When we talk about pouring it out, we're talking about a couple things. We're talking about trust God and then work. And then follow what God favors. Trust God and work. You got to work it. You know, it's interesting, in this story, she could have said, oh, the creditors are coming. You need to do something. Just magically give me money. You need to do something. Like, tell them not to. Go tell the creditors. No. I mean, she could have had a lot of other things, but it was important for her own dignity. It was important for her future. It was important for her boys that she go through this process. What do you want? Identify what you want. Quit whining. What do you want? What do you have in the house? What will you do? And so she had to work it. Those vessels didn't just come flying into her house. They had to go knock on some doors. They had to go talk to some neighbors. Maybe it was embarrassing. Maybe it felt humbling. Maybe some people said no. But they had to go knock on some doors. They had to do some work. And then it wasn't just one or two vessels. They had to get the wheelbarrow. It was many vessels. Probably a lot of trips. And then they had to go into the house, shut the door. Now, this is where faith kicks in. Now, this is where you're like, okay, God, I'm going to pretend I've heard from you. We're going to start pouring out because it might seem silly. But this is where they shut the door and they just began to pour out the thing they had. They began to do, work it, and God touched it. This is where God touched it. Now they get a whole garage full of inventory. Now they got a whole garage full of oil. But it did take work. It did take effort. And then you watch where God touches it, where God favors it. So in this case, I mean, it'd be one thing if they poured out one bottle of oil and nothing happened. No doors opened, no oil multiplied, nobody bought their product. It'd be one thing if nothing happened. Well, then you have nothing to go on and you might think, oh, maybe I miss God. But if something happened, anything. Listen, the Lord is so good. I'll say it this way. The Lord is so good at always throwing us a bone. Always. And there are times you're taking steps of faith and you want God to throw you a bag of bones. God, give me more. Throw me more encouragement. And he always throws us enough. Enough encouragement to not quit, although you can be tempted. enough encouragement to go, no, I've been touching some things over here. And you're still learning some lessons, and you're still increasing your capacity, and you're still developing infrastructure, and you're still maturing in life. And if I touched it beyond where you're ready, it'd probably destroy you. So I'm touching it at the level I can, enough to keep you going. Amen. You watch. What's God touching? What's he opening? We've all done it, but sometimes we want God to open doors he's not opening. And then we get discouraged. But what doors is he opening? Well, I don't want those doors. God is smarter than we are. He knows what we need, doesn't he? Might not seem very big at the moment. It didn't seem very big to be going into your house and pouring oil. Little did she know, thousands of years later, people are going to still be talking about her and her boys, the single mom with two boys. Little did she know, years, decades, millennia later, people are still talking about her. You know, a number of years ago, now, what was it, two years exactly, right around now, God began to put something in our heart about taking the basics and doing some things on television. We were actually thinking about radio, to be honest. We thought maybe we should put it on radio because, you know, people need the basics. But long story short, we began to think about TV, and we took a few steps. And you know, when we took a few steps, it just seemed overwhelming. It just like, no, we're not ready for this. We don't even know what we're doing. No, we are not cut out for this. Okay, Lord, thank you very much. Jeff's going to be 60-something. I'm going to be 60. We can retire soon. Forget this. Forget this. But something stirred up in us. Now, I've shared this before, but a couple years even prior to that, you know, sometimes you're pregnant with things. Not sometimes. You are pregnant with things. You are pregnant with the promise. You are pregnant with vision. God's put things in your heart. And sometimes you try to sort it all out. And I remember I was in a season trying to sort out some things. And so the Lord took me over to Genesis 25. And in Genesis 25, Rebecca said, Lord, if it's so great that I'm pregnant, which she was, she said, why the struggle within? And the Lord said to her, well, because there are twins in your womb. There are two babies in your womb. The older will serve the younger and so on. She says, Lord, if it's so great that you put all these things in my heart, why the struggle? Why does it feel like a struggle all the time? Well, I could relate to that because I didn't really put it in those terms until that moment, but I began to realize that for decades since I became a Christian, there have been two babies inside of me. Two babies. I mean, we delivered four children, but talking about vision, you know, talking about your calling. Two calling babies in there. And one of the babies was helping my husband pioneer Valley Family Church, and then together we've been pastoring the church now for 27 years. And this was the biggest baby. It was. It was all consuming. This baby required all of our attention. I mean, we've kiddingly said with our kids, this was our fifth child. VMC was our fifth child. She just turned 27. Hallelujah. It was all consuming in the best way. We love all four of our kids. We love the church. But there was this other baby inside, and I knew God wanted to do something with the basics. I've written a bunch of books. We're using them here. But I knew it was beyond Kalamazoo. I knew there was things he wanted to do, but I didn't know what. And we didn't see as much fruit in that area. It was like, we could just cut it down, forget it, let's retire. But it was like, no, that baby's kicking. That baby's kicking. You're going to have to do something with it. Might as well take some steps. Pretend you've heard from God and just see if he touches anything. So we began just to take some steps. It's a long story. I'll tell you the whole story one day. But we just began to take some steps. It's almost comical now. But do you know, now it's been 2 years, but from the time we actually started taking steps, it's not even been 18 months yet. Our first step that we took was in February of 17. Well, do you know, in that short little window of time, we have learned so much about television, and God has seen fit to open some doors and put a basics television program from some crazy people in Kalamazoo on two of the biggest Christian TV networks on the planet. Well, what is that about? That's awesome. What is that? You just take some steps and see what God touches. And you don't get discouraged if it doesn't feel like it's going as fast as you want or it's happening the way you thought it would. You just go, okay, God, apparently you're touching it here, so we'll take a step. Amen. All right, wrap up. Last thing is this. I want you to see it. You got to see this. Bring out the chair, guys. You got to bring out this chair. So, talking about working hard. Well, my husband loves Michigan and Michigan State football. No doubt about it for all of you Michigan people. However, his favorite coach is Coach Nick Saban from the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. And all the Roll Tide fans said, yeah, there's none. But all you people in Alabama, come on, Roll Tide for Alabama's. Well, anyways, he loves Coach Nick Saban, and he's been, you know, he's pretty astounding. In fact, they are saying he's even surpassed now Coach Bear Bryant in terms of his awards and his record. So this year, this season, okay, so this chair, this was Coach Saban's chair when he coached at Michigan State. This was his university chair. And this was at our thrift store, and nobody was buying it because nobody in Michigan apparently cares about Alabama. Sweet home Alabama, we love you. So Jeff decided, well, I'm going to buy it. He went to the thrift store. He bought it for $100. He goes, I'm going to buy that chair. This is like one of the greatest coaches that has ever lived coaching football. Then Coach Saban's wife had Coach sign a letter or sign a photo and verified it was his chair and sent it up. Now, how cool is that? But what makes Coach Saban so amazing? He works it. He is a hard worker, and he works his team. We watched the game yesterday, and we were listening to some of the players, and they said, you guys are, as of yesterday, they're 5-0 now this year, 5-0. But last week, they were 4-0. You'd think after a big win, the coach might go easy on him in practice. They said, how was practice this week? You guys are having an amazing year. How was practice? On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was it? They said, oh, man, it was brutal. It was a 10. He worked us so hard. He works us harder in practice than the actual games. The games are a piece of cake to how hard we work in practice. Well, it's no wonder, then, a lot of these games recently have been big blowouts. Because the game's a piece of cake if you've been working really hard in practice. Amen. What are we talking about? We're saying God wants to reinvent your life, no doubt about it. God has big dreams, big plans. Go borrow vessels and not just a few, because he's got big, big plans for you. But it is going to take us cooperating with the Lord to go, to borrow, and to pour. So what's God stirring you up about? What do you need to do? And you might go, hey, I just came to this series to improve my relationships. Well, awesome. What are you going to do this week in your relationships? Who are you going to go to? What kind of fun ideas are you going to borrow for a date night, friendship, cup of coffee? How are you going to pour into those friendships? Go, borrow, pour.